Welcome back to this episode of eMoney's Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your host. Today I'm welcoming Zach Gates, Senior Training Specialist here at eMoney, and we're chatting about underrated features within the application. Zach has worn several hats at eMoney and shares endless tips, tricks, and recommendations, so this is an episode you won't want to miss. Here's my conversation with Zach. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Zach, thanks so much for joining the podcast today. I'm really excited for our listeners to get to know you. Can you start by telling our listeners who you are and what you do here at eMoney?
Sure. Thanks, Kate. Happy to be here. So my name is Zach Gates. I am a senior training specialist here at eMoney Advisor. It's hard to believe, but I'm about 2 or 3 months away from my 10-year mark here at eMoney. So started back in 2016. I've held a variety of different roles at eMoney. Started out, like most of us, as a client support specialist. So taking phone calls all day from our users and answering questions, troubleshooting. So that was a great way to learn the app and all of its functionality. Then I moved into a success coach role where I was part of the onboarding training for new users of the platform. Then I moved back into the client support role. I was a senior client support specialist. Then I moved into a help desk role where I was more of a tier two internal support role. And then I just wanted to get back into the education aspect. So I moved back into the training department where I've been since 2021. I absolutely love it. My favorite thing to do is just talking about the platform, all the ins and outs. I do a lot of our advanced level trainings, estate planning, income tax planning. I've participated in some of our CE webinars, most recently our tax legislation and insights webinar for the last few years. So you probably heard me there. But like I said, my favorite thing to do is talk about the platform. So that's where I am.
Very cool. Well, happy decade at eMoney. That is so exciting. And you've really worn so many different hats since you've been here and have so many perspectives on what eMoney is and the features that are within the application. So today we're going to be talking about the underrated features of eMoney. And because eMoney is so complex, I think there are parts of the application that maybe don't necessarily receive the love that they truly deserve. And I think it's easy for advisors to get into the weeds in one part of the application and maybe forget that there are other features in other areas of the platform that could help them in the planning process. So hopefully we can shed some light on those features today and really expand the way that advisors are using the application. So with all of that being said, what features do you find a newer advisor typically overlooks, and why might you recommend that they not overlook them as a new advisor?
Sure. So one of the things that we actually touch on from the training element, right in one of the first courses that an advisor can go through, one of the elements of that is the foundations for success. So I think when you are brand new to eMoney, eMoney is a complex platform. There is so much that you can do in that platform. It can be a little overwhelming at first. So what I encourage new users to do is take advantage of that low-hanging fruit. So those foundations for success involve the branding experience. So double checking that your contact information is accurate. You can do that when you click on settings at the top right. And if any updates need to be made, like to your display name, do you want any designations included? Make sure your email address is updated, your address, because that's part of your branding experience for your clients. That's how they're going to know how to contact you. So making sure that that's updated. Going to the presentation and report logos section, make sure that your logos are uploaded. Clicking into our newer feature that we just recently released, that client portal tab at the top in your navigation bar, where you can control the branding experience of the client portal, different layouts, see how it looks from the mobile access, from the desktop access, things like that. And then also going through other things like creating your lead capture link. So, hey, is prospecting something that you want to use eMoney for? It's something that you can do very quickly. Go to settings, go to lead capture, make sure that's squared away. But it's not just that stuff. It's also the team element. So you're an advisor. If you have other paraplanners or other support users that are assisting you that also have their own access to eMoney, well, you need to grant them visibility to your clients. So go into your sharing rules, make sure that you've shared all of the appropriate clients, you've delegated client management. That's going to position everyone on your team for success, because as soon as they log in, then they'll have access to what they need in terms of clients and the ability to add and delete clients, set up client portals and stuff like that. So we always encourage that. Another element is taking advantage of our sample clients or adding yourself as a client. It seems pretty simple and straightforward. I know advisors use our sample clients, but one of the best ways to learn eMoney is to learn by doing. Everybody has a different learning style. You can watch a video or look at a practice activity, but you really take it to the next level when you can get in there and play around yourself. So we have several different sample clients. Each sample client reflects a client with a different financial situation. So the Steins, for instance, great for estate planning because of their higher net worth. They're already retired. They have a couple of trusts. The Johnsons and the Zhaos have businesses. So if you do a lot of business planning, check them out. The Espositos have stock options. So if you want to see how restricted stock units are constructed, check them out. But it's a good way to get familiar with the platform. And if you want to showcase the power of eMoney to a potential client, use a sample client. It's all fake data that you can pull up. Hey, here's what a cash flow report can look like. Here's what your client portal can look like. Then you don't have to spend all this time as a new user building out all the details on a brand new client when you're still learning how the platform works. The sample clients are already baked out and ready for you to use, not only for your own practice, but for also showcasing the value of the eMoney tool. Then lastly, alerts and tasks. I think that is another feature that is often overlooked, because alerts and tasks can be positioned to help not only your team effort, but also to help you understand and see data that might be relevant to you at this point in time. So you can set up a task to communicate to your support users that are assisting you with client data entry. You as the advisor can add a task, assign it to your support person, and say, hey, can you go in and finish inputting the business interest details in this client's advanced facts? Can you do this by this date? So it allows you to position your team approach to utilize eMoney efficiently by ensuring transparency and communication. And then alerts can also be used to notify not only yourselves, but alerts that are triggered upon client activity. So you can turn on certain alerts like, we rolled out the client portal. We want to know who's logging in, who's not logging in, if somebody changed a fact, if somebody finished their onboarding wizard and things like that. So all of those features can be used to build transparency to help you learn the platform, but also to position the platform for success moving forward, so you're starting off on the right foot.
Those were great tips for those newer advisors. And I love that so many of them were really impactful regardless of what the advisor's goals are. Like alerts and tasks, for example, is a great thing for an advisor to be aware of and to understand how it works and to start setting up. And same thing with branding, regardless of what the advisor's goal is. Whereas maybe once the advisor has a little bit more experience in the platform, some of the features they use will really be dependent upon what their goals are for their clients. So I love that you highlighted some of those, because they really speak to every new advisor. On the flip side, what features do you see an eMoney Power user navigate to that you've seen make a really big impact for them? Because we do have so many users that are really familiar with the application, and they have a ton of experience and have used it in very impactful ways.
Yeah, so I am definitely an eMoney nerd. So my first answer would be all of the features. I am a fan of every single feature and item in the platform, but I will do my best to narrow it down to those. Some features that eMoney Power users are definitely using and then finding big impacts. The first that I'll definitely recommend is the ledger report. So I call the ledger report the microscope of reports. So it's not a client-facing report. It's a tool for advisors, but it's a critical part of all types of planning, whether that's cash flow, retirement, insurance planning, investments, estate planning, income tax planning, and so on and so forth. Because the ledger allows you to get closer to how the simulation is functioning. Because at the end of the day, that's what eMoney, the eMoney platform is. It is a simulation tool that is meant to help you with real-world financial planning. And so when you're looking at a higher-level report, like your assets report, or your cash flow report, and you want to know, why is this account value changing from this to this in this given simulation year? The ledger is going to answer that question. If you notice in your cash flow report that your taxes are maybe a little too high, a little too low, the tax events ledger is going to help you provide clarity around what's going on. What is factoring into that income tax report? So your tax events ledger can help you see what is subject to taxation in terms of the amount, what type of tax was assessed, and what fact within the facts triggered that taxable event. Same thing with your assets ledger. One of the key things about the e-money simulation that you have to learn is that core cash account. How does that function in the simulation? The ledger can give you clarity on that. You can see all the inflows going in, all the outflows coming out. You can see accounts where withdrawals are made. You can see how much growth occurred within a specific account. A contribution, did we hit the max limit? What is the balance between Roth and pre-tax in a Roth 401k? The ledger is going to answer those questions. And then there's the estate planning component. You have your gift tax events ledger. You can see what amount was excluded, what fit within that annual exclusion, what was considered a taxable gift given the value of your gift, who is receiving the gift, and things like that. And then going back to that core cash account, that is also critical because any entity in eMoney has a core cash account. Obviously, the client and spouse, but a trust has a core cash account. A business interest has a core cash account. So if you want to see that inflows, outflows activity for anything, whether that's a specific account or an entity, you can use your assets ledger for that. So definitely my favorite report in the system. But like I said, I think every report is my favorite, but I'll narrow it down to that one. The other feature, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Decision Center. Obviously, the Decision Center is that interactive planning powerhouse. I really like to look at the Decision Center in line with kind of like the CFP board practice standards for financial planning. So understanding the client's financial circumstances, identifying goals, analyzing their current course of action, and identifying alternative courses of action, developing recommendations, presenting recommendations, so on and so forth. So you kind of get what I'm saying there. The Decision Center can be a part of a lot of those steps. So the Decision Center can be used to assess the client's current course of action. You can hop in the Decision Center, look at their base facts, analyze their projected portfolio assets, their taxes, their cash flow, their estate planning flow chart. You can use your solvers. Obviously, we just released our new CoPlanner tool. Use that to determine potential approaches given what the client's objectives are for financial plan success. You can use your single variable solvers. Figure out how early can I possibly retire, or how much can I actually spend to achieve my legacy goal at the end of the simulation? And all of that can be done without even building one single advanced plan. So there's a lot of exploratory opportunities you can use the Decision Center for. But then, of course, when you build your financial planning recommendations, that's what you're going to use to then present the financial plan to your client. It's a great streamlined workflow, gives the clients a lot of nice visuals. It connects them to their financial plan. You can use it to collaborate with your client, add new techniques on the fly. You can go through all of your various presentation techniques like presentation view. You can do a traditional deliverable, multi-view. I mean, there's so much that you can do now with the Decision Center. It's such an unbelievable planning tool. But it's easily one of those most used tools that our power users are using because it really takes your plan delivery to the next level.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to steal that phrase that you referred to when you talked about the Decision Center, the interactive planning powerhouse. That's a great way to describe the Decision Center and all that it encompasses. You know, you talked a little bit about the Decision Center and being able to present plans to clients. And obviously, the advisor-client relationship is something that we focus on a lot here at eMoney. We have a lot of advisors who really want to have a strong rapport with their clients. What feature would you tell an advisor to use if that is something that they really want to focus on?
Absolutely. Honestly, I think that's what eMoney is best at, because one of the key aspects of financial planning is you want to personalize the financial plan to the client. And eMoney allows you to do that in so many different ways. So of course, there are so many features of the platform. It's a lot to kind of dive into as a new user, but the same goes for your client too. So once again, take advantage of some of that low-hanging fruit to personalize this experience as much as possible to your client. So for example, when you're setting up the client portal, you can go to your onboarding section, and then you have that welcome message for the onboarding tool. take a minute and personalize that to the client. That's truly going to make an impact, because our main goal with the client portal is engagement. We want them to use the portal. The point of the client portal is to harbor their entire financial picture in a one-stop shop access, where they can see assets under management, their accounts held away, engage with the vault, store important documents digitally in that vault, use a budgeting tool, things like that. But our goal is we want them to log in and actually use the features. So little things like personalization do go a long way. We have anecdotal evidence of that. We get feedback from a lot of users over the years that share that exact experience. So definitely under your settings at the top right, your advisor settings, I would create a welcome message that you feel is applicable to all clients. But then when you go into the client's individual client portal settings, you can personalize it. So instead of saying hello, maybe something like, hello, John and Jane, or hello, name of client, and then add your name in the signature of your welcome message. That will go a long way. So that way they know this portal was set up for me, not me and a million other clients. They want to know that you are doing this intentionally for them. So little things like that can go a long way. That My Advisor page, that's part of the client portal. Make sure that your photo is updated in that section. Your contact information, any website URLs like you, that you would like to include, your LinkedIn page, your firm's website, because again, that's client facing. That's how they're going to know how to engage with you. And you can also establish or set up certain next steps and tasks that can appear in that section as well. So that's going to be a direct way in which they can interact with you through the portal. In addition, that strong rapport, going along with personalizing the experience, you don't have to turn on all the bells and whistles of the client portal. You can adjust certain features to what makes sense at this point in time. So you can turn off certain features that they might not be ready for, like turning off certain reports and things like that, or turning off like the budgeting tool if we haven't even linked our credit cards yet, stuff like that. That can help your client learn the platform efficiently, but it's also going to help you as you begin rolling out these features in a more streamlined way. Using financial priorities and observations and next steps in the basic facts. I am a huge fan of as much transparency as possible. So financial priorities live in the basic facts. They also live in the client portal. They're part of the onboarding tool, but that's going to ensure that you have transparency in this process. You're on the same page as your clients. You know what's most important to them. So then you can use that as a reference point for future plan recommendations. The observations and next steps. Once you've completed all of your data entry, you can use observations to make general summarizing points to personalize the process. Maybe identify things that are important, like you are highly committed to serving charitable organizations, something easy like that. Next steps can help you create action items. What do we need to accomplish over the next month or two? You can use those as tasks within the platform. So that builds rapport because it connects the clients to the process. Going into your vault, your shared documents folder, creating subfolders. Maybe you know that you're going to be doing tax planning for your client. So go to your shared documents folder, create a few subfolders for W-2s, 1099s, account statements, things like that. So that way, when the client clicks on the vault for the first time and they click into that, and where they can indeed share the documents with you, they know exactly where it's going to go. And you're already staying organized because you took a few minutes to kind of position the vault in a way that's going to help you stay successful within the software. I can go on and on. Going back to the alerts too, there's things in there like date-based reminders. Set a reminder for when the client's birthday is, when their insurance policy expires. So you can remind yourself to reach out to your client. So there's so many features in there that can help you stay connected with your client. And those are just a few of them.
Those were amazing. It's really important for advisors to remember those touch points when it comes to connecting with clients, because the most important thing is that the client knows that the advisor cares. And that alone goes a long way. We've all been on the position where we are the client, whether it's in a home renovation or, you know, you're purchasing like a car. We've all been the client, and knowing that someone cares goes a really long way. But you also gave a ton of great almost action items for advisors to really walk away from today's podcast with when it comes to just connecting with their clients and building that rapport. A few of those related to the client portal, and that's something that I want to dive into a little bit more. What about the client portal specifically do you think is underrated, both for the advisor and the end client? Because there's so much just within the client portal that we could dive into.
Totally. I would say definitely an underrated aspect of it, because this is going to come up most likely in every single client conversation, especially when we're introducing new technology. The advisor definitely wants to get ahead of the security conversation. So I'll plug the knowledge base in here. The help menu at the top right, when you go to all help, you can scroll down. There's a client-facing section in there. Or if you just type the words safe and secure, there's an amazing client-facing slick about security of this portal. Because again, we want to build trust with the client. This is a personal experience for them. Financial planning is extremely important. We're talking about the client's legacy, their goals, and we want to use this technology to alleviate their concerns and give them a streamlined path forward, but they have to trust the process, as they say. So that safe and secure slick will go through key details like how we protect passwords, mandatory two-factor authentication, encryption levels, the fact that it's a non-transactional client portal. Seeing some of those elements can really give them that peace of mind to establish that trust, so then they can begin moving forward and link those accounts with confidence and utilize other features like spending and budgeting and so on and so forth. So I think that's an underrated experience for the client portal that can help not only the advisor and the client, but it helps both of you. It helps alleviate their concerns, but then you're getting ahead of the conversation, so you're not getting caught off guard with a non-answer when they ultimately are going to ask you that question. It makes you prepared for that inevitable conversation. So I think that's a critical part of the experience. I already mentioned it before, but position the vault for success. The vault has unlimited storage. You can upload, user guides or, guides or documents and stuff. You can, I think, upload videos in there. But the thing is, we want them to use the vault. So go to that shared documents, position it with different subfolders. If the client is obviously brand new to the portal, we want to assist them with that process and learning how everything works and what the value is. So going to that client-facing section of the knowledge base, dropping several documents in that shared documents folder where you can create some sort of a welcome package for your client. So, hey, should you have any questions? I placed a bunch of documents in here that you can reference to help learn and navigate the client portal. Great. That's going to help your client become more and more independent and answer a lot of questions that they're probably thinking of. There's also that help menu in the client portal. So advisors have a client support department that they can call, but the clients do not. The clients are going to be calling their financial professional. So instructing them in that initial welcome call, when you give them the access to the client portal, let them know that they have a help menu as well. It is intuitive. It knows, hey, you're on the vault and you click help, it's going to give you some guidance on how to use the vault. If you're on the spending tool, it's going to give you some guidance on how to use the spending tool. Once again, that's going to help your client establish confidence in this portal and learn it as quickly as possible. But what I also feel is crucial is really explaining the value proposition here. Why does the client portal matter? And I already alluded to it before. It is a one-stop shop for the client's complete financial picture. They can see things that are important to them, their financial goals, their financial assets, their spending transactions, their budgets, their vault, where they can upload important documentation, social security cards, passports, medical records. But I mentioned it before, if an advisor adds themselves as a client and goes through this experience themselves, then that can help them with their value proposition. So you can go through a common scenario. Hey, we had a situation where a client was in the doctor's office, needed access to those medical records. The good news is they uploaded them in their vault and they have access to their client portal with their mobile device. So they have instant access to their financial picture through that experience. And a simple scenario that you can paint for a client like that will really help position this in a way in which the client then really wants to move forward and use this portal. Wow, this can help me in a lot of different ways. That's great. So going through those little storytelling aspects, positioning it, getting ahead of that security conversation can really go a long way with helping both the advisor and the client in and using this as a relationship building tool.
Yeah, everything that you just said was so helpful, but I have to say the tip about it being safe and secure and having the client understand that is so important. And I think to your point, the vault is the perfect in between of you have something that's efficient and effective where you can easily access your documents and you have something that's safe and secure. And that's the best of both worlds. I want to jump back a little bit to the decision center because the decision center, as we discussed earlier, is so complex. You can do so many things within the decision center. And that's just something that we have continued to pour our hearts and souls into at eMoney. What is one element within the decision center that you think is overlooked?
I agree. There's to see the decision center evolve over the years since I started 10 years ago is just unbelievable. It is so cool to see this tool evolve and to see users have success with it. But I definitely encourage advisors to take advantage of the little things that can assist the presentation element of this tool. So when you click into the decision center, for instance, your menus on the left, like techniques, your what ifs, if you're viewing our single variable solvers, you'll see those earliest retirement and maximum retirement. If you're using CoPlanner, you'll see the CoPlanner setting there as well. But what you'll also notice is to the right of that, there's a little upward arrow, like a little carrot icon. You can click that, which will collapse those sections. And so that is a good way to kind of prepare the presentation screen for the client, because there is so much functionality in the decision center, we don't want to overwhelm the presentation. So reveal things as they're appropriate. So if you intend to then move forward with presenting a plan and you want to see those individual techniques, then you can expand that techniques menu, but you still have what ifs and solvers collapsed, for instance. So reveal things as they make sense for the conversation, but ready the presentation screen at the beginning of the meeting, which can help you stay focused on the item that you're discussing at hand. That goes a long way with presentation and really helps you avoid overwhelming the client initially. So little things like that. What also goes along with that is that start presenting button at the bottom right of your screen. So that button will remove that blue navigation bar at the top of the page. Because if I don't click that, technically, if I'm sharing my screen with the client, whether it's through a virtual like Zoom or if it's on person on a screen, really there's nothing stopping me from clicking on analytics by accident. And then all of a sudden, the client I'm presenting to can see my top five clients by net worth or my top clients by salary, assuming that those are my analytics dashboards. That's something that I want to avoid. That'd be a little awkward. So when you click start presenting, you eliminate all that. You're personalizing the presentation experience to the client, because all that's on your screen now is what is relevant to your client. You can only click on their facts, their plans, their reports, but it's only information that belongs to them. So that can help reduce some of your nerves about using this tool, maybe for the first time, and it can go a long way with the presentation experience. And then the last thing that I'll recommend in the decision center that is often overlooked, I want to give some love to the multi-view feature. We have a number of different reports and we're only adding more and more with each product release within the decision center. But when you're presenting to the client, that's a lot of reports to kind of click into. Let's go to lifetime portfolio value. Let's go to cash flow overview. Let's go to Monte Carlo summary, things like that. Your multi-view experience allows you to pick and choose the exact reports that you need to create the biggest impact in that presentation. But what you want to do is build those multi-view dashboards before you meet with the client. So you can build an estate plan template, go to the multi-view, which reports make the most sense. So that way, when it's time to present to the client, you have your plan engaged, you're in your multi-view dashboard, and you can see that simultaneous impact. And then you can still click into each individual report to visualize more detail. But it helps you present yourself as an organized financial plan presenter, and it helps your clients gain a little bit more confidence in you rather than them seeing you shuffle around all the different reports because you forgot where the tax bracket report is and you're kind of looking for that. The multi-view experience can really help you stay organized with your presentation. So I'd say that those are definitely overlooked features of the Decision Center presentation experience.
Very cool. I think it's awesome that all of those features could go back to also creating that strong rapport between advisors and clients, because the more a client sees an advisor that is organized, confident, knows what they're doing within the application that they are presenting, or within the platform and plan that they're presenting to the client, the more peace of mind the client is likely to have. And to your point about multi-view is such a great tool within the decision center and such a great visual experience. And a client getting the experience to see certain things visually is really going to help with client engagement as well. With reports, Is there a specific report that you have seen have incredible value, but isn't maybe used as frequently as you would expect it to be among advisors?
Yeah, so we have a lot of reports in the platform that are available, especially if you're on Pro or Premier. And there's, you don't have to use every single report to be impactful in your financial plan delivery, but there are some that can create a lot of value for your process that I think often are overlooked just because of the abundance of report options that there are. I'm an estate planning nerd. I love estate planning, income tax planning, all that stuff. So I'll first start with your estate plan techniques report and your estate distribution report. The estate plan techniques report is a great way to visualize trust activity. So for instance, you build a plan, you fund a charitable remainder unit trust. You want to see those payout rate distributions, those unit trust distributions. You want to see how that impacts trust valuation over time. And then maybe you also want to see that split interest breakdown, that calculated income and remainder interest, to see what kind of charitable deduction the client's going to get. Guess what? The estate plan techniques report can answer all of those questions with a nice visual, but it's essentially like a cash flow projection report for trust types, charitable remainder trusts, irrevocable trusts, and so on and so forth. Amazing report for advanced trust planning within the platform. The estate distribution report is also underrated. I think common go-tos are the flowchart reports, the estate valuation and transfers report. No knock on those. Those are among my favorites as well. But what those will help you visualize is the flow from the client's estate to the next generation. Whereas the estate distribution report helps you visualize not only that, but also that remainder interest in various trust types, if applicable for a client's estate plan. So if a client is a remainder beneficiary on an islet, you can see that total inheritance from trusts, but also from the client and spouse. So it allows you to really see that total distribution to your heirs. So really impactful for estate planning. The buy-sell transaction report, amazing. You model a buy-sell transaction, sell a property. That report summarizes the details of the sale, helps you see the sale value, any realized gain or losses, if applicable. Helps you see net proceeds. So it really just shows you a nice cleaned up summary of your buy-sell transaction. So we always call that out in our trainings. I love the portfolio reinvestment report. So when it comes to investment plannings, that reallocation or reinvestment technique that's in there, the portfolio reinvestment report is awesome. It shows you exactly what was reinvested. It shows you how much turnover there was upon the reinvestment, which then triggers estimated taxes. So it shows you what kind of tax hit you're going to get from the reallocation. And it summarizes your asset class differentiation. Amazing report to visualize a reinvestment transaction for a client. And then lastly, I'm going to give some love to the supplemental reports. So under your all reports menu, it's listed alphabetically. Go to supplemental. Those reports do not show any client information. However, they can be used for explanations or education. So maybe you're introducing the concept of a donor advised fund, or the concept of a charitable remainder trust, just to use that one again, or a SPIA, or a credit shelter trust. There's a number of different sub-reports in there. Those reports are helpful because they speak to different learning styles. There's a visual to understand the mechanics of a certain trust event or a donor advised fund, just to name those as a couple of examples. But then it goes through the mechanics of it. What is actually going on with this type of transaction or technique? And then also it'll go through things like advantages of doing something like that. It's not related to the client's information, but it can help a client who might be new to this topic to understand what kind of value this can ultimately bring and why is my advisor even talking about that. So I rarely see advisors using those reports because I don't know if they even know that they're there, but could be useful to help a client understand some sort of concept that you're trying to convey, given the recommendations that you're making to them. So those would be the reports that I would call out.
Wow, that was a great lineup, Zach, of different reports that advisors, like you said, you don't see them navigate to maybe as often as you would hope. And for the advisor who does focus a lot on estate planning, those reports could be so helpful. And that's just an example, right? We have advisors who are, we would call them comprehensive financial planners. And really, so many of those reports could be helpful to those advisors and to what they're doing for their clients. What is one feature in eMoney that you don't necessarily think is underrated as a standalone feature, but how the advisor is using it is underrated.
Sure. So I am definitely a big fan of naming conventions, making sure that how you label things in the platform are clear, because that is going to help you presentation-wise. I know I keep going back to the presentation element, but it helps you stay organized, because you're most likely not just working with one client. You might be working with 10 clients or 20 clients. If you think about it, that's a lot of plans that you're building. That's a lot of different planning techniques that you're adding into those plans and things like that. So when you add a new plan, I would avoid doing something like financial plan number one, financial plan number two. I've seen that done. And when I get those calls, when I'm back in my client support days, where we go through this plan, the advisor has no idea what's going on in there because it's labeled like that. So doing your best to make it clear to help you understand what is going on in here. So like maybe this plan, you're showing the client downsizing and moving to a different state at retirement. So name the plan, downsize home and move to Florida. Whatever's going on in that plan can go a long way, especially when you're navigating different outcomes within the decision center experience. But you can also rename techniques. So if one of the techniques that you're building in a plan is delaying the retirement, well, that involves making a change to a retirement or death assumption. And that's how it's going to be labeled. It'll say retirement/death assumptions in blue. Well, that doesn't tell you a whole lot. So consider renaming that to what it is that you're actually doing. That helps you when you're reviewing this in your reports, but also in your interactive presentation. Last thing that I'll mention is plans and what ifs. Those terms can be used interchangeably, because typically we refer to plans as what ifs. What if I reinvested my portfolio? What if I moved to Texas? What if I downsized my home? Well, in e-money, it's about how you use them. So remember, a plan is where you build something within the client's control, like downsizing, reinvesting, delaying retirement, spending less. A what if, which is found in your tools under the plans tab, is meant to illustrate what is outside of the client's control. Things that they can't control, like somebody passing away unexpectedly, or a drop in market returns, a bear market, or a long-term care health event, things like that. When you layer those into your reports, that's going to help you deliver the maximum number of alternative outcomes so you can really plan for all elements in the client's financial projection.
The distinction between plan and what if is very important throughout the planning process. But I think that a common theme throughout our conversation today has been those little details really go such a long way. Back to the branding, the alerts and tasks, and now even to the naming, the plans and the what ifs. And having those like little details together really create a much more peaceful experience, and also just easier for and more simple experience for the advisor, and then ultimately for the client. Because like you said, it's going to leave the advisor more organized. They're going to have a better idea of what things are and where things are and what things mean. Chances are if you label something financial plan one, you're going to come back 3 months later and be like, what was that again? I don't remember. Just the name like alone being like, oh, okay, I remember we were talking about them remodeling their kitchen, or we were talking about them retiring early. And so I think those small details really do go a long way. I always say it's like the little things that are really the big things in the long run. So I love that. If an advisor listening could adopt one feature, and this is a bit of a loaded question, I understand that because we've talked about so much today, but if an advisor listening could adopt one feature, what should it be?
Well, I got to give the plug in here. I represent the training department right now. So I would have to say the Learning Center within that training menu at the top right, because that will help you adopt everything that we've talked about today. That is the one feature that will help you learn every single feature within the platform. So when you log in and click on training, it's built and comprised of several different course phases: your setup, your fundamentals, your beginner, your intermediate, your advanced, and it's all organized in the efficient learning pathway. So it starts you out with the basics. You then expand on that with some more introductory aspects of the software, how the simulation works, things like that. You kind of go through your getting started courses, and then you can move into your intermediate courses where you can dive into more detail. And then you can take it to the next level with your advanced level courses and tie everything that you've learned up until that point together. You can really become an expert in advanced data entry, planning techniques, reporting, presentation, all centered around different financial concepts. So I would absolutely say taking advantage of the Learning Center. I plugged it earlier. Take advantage of that knowledge base. So the help menu at the top right, where you can view all your guides, your videos, your how-tos. So many resources are available within the platform to help you learn how everything works, but it's all self-paced. Don't put pressure on yourselves. As we commonly say, when you're new to e-money, it can feel like drinking out of a fire hose. Take advantage of those resources to alleviate that pressure. Learn at your own pace. Use those sample clients like I talked about. You're going to get to that next level very quickly. So that would be the number one feature that I would recommend for any user, regardless of their user experience, whether you're brand new or whether you're an advanced user.
Great recommendation, Zach. And yeah, I was just going to add that too, of how helpful the Learning Center can be, both for not just the brand new user, but also the experienced user in eMoney. So thank you so much for all that you shared today about our underrated features and all that eMoney has to offer.
Thanks so much, Kate. This was great.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. Zach shared a lot of information about a ton of features in the application, so I encourage you to go check them out for yourself. And remember that there are lots of help menu resources to help you along the way. We'll catch you on another episode soon.